Bhavesmin klishyamananam. Avidya kama karma bhi. Shravana smaranarhani. Karishyan iti kechana. Yet others say that you appeared to be Juvenate, the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. Purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asserts that He appears in every millennium just to reestablish the way of religion. The way of religion is made by the Supreme Lord. No one can manufacture a new path of religion, as is the fashion for certain ambitious persons. The factual way of religion is to accept the Lord as the supreme authority and thus render service unto Him in spontaneous love. A living being cannot help but render service because he is constitutionally made for that purpose. The only function of the living being is to render service to the Lord. The Lord is great, and living beings are subordinate to Him. Therefore, the duty of the living being is just to serve Him only. Unfortunately, the illusioned living beings, out of misunderstanding only, become servants of the senses by material desire. This desire is called avidya, or nescience. And out of such desire, the living being makes different plans for material enjoyment centered about a perverted sex life. He therefore becomes entangled in the chain of birth and death by transmigrating into different bodies on different planets under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Unless, therefore, one is beyond the boundary of this nescience, one cannot get free from the threefold miseries of material life. That is the law of nature. The Lord, however, out of His causeless mercy, because He is more merciful to the suffering living beings than they can expect, appears before them and renovates the principles of devotional service comprised of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshiping, praying, cooperating, and surrendering unto Him. Adoption of all the above-mentioned items, or any one of them, can help a conditioned soul get out of the tangle of nescience and thus become liberated from all material sufferings created by the living being illusioned by the external energy. This particular type of mercy is bestowed upon the living being by the Lord in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Krishna explains in Gita, dharma samstataravaya, that He appears to reestablish the principles of religion. And Queen Kunti, being a intimate devotee of the Lord, is explaining that the highest, most perfect of all religious principles is to always remember Krishna by hearing his glories, by chanting his glories, his holy names, by worshiping him with devotion. These nine processes of devotional service, as explained in the Shastra, are the most perfect of all religious principles. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat puranitam. No one has the authority to manufacture any religious principle. Real religion has descended along with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those who are suffering within this material world, the repetition of birth and death, their only hope of escaping from this network of miseries is to take shelter of the true religious system, which is enunciated by the Lord himself. This is a material existence which has been constructed in such a way that everyone, save and except those who have taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, must suffer. Samashaya. One who fully takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet no longer has to endure an existence where there is danger at every step. The only place of safety is in constant remembrance of Krishna. The only refuge is in surrender at the lotus feet of Krishna. And whoever we are, without Krishna consciousness, we must endure great difficulty. Whether we are an insect, or whether we are elevated to the position of Lord Brahma. Even Lord Brahma, Atmabhu, the original progenitor of everything and everyone within this particular universe, with such power, with such influence, when he was first manifested by the will of the Lord on the lotus flower from the navel of Lord Narayan, he was in a bewildered state, and in that bewilderment he was suffering. There was darkness all around him. He did not know what to do, what not to do. Although he was so great with such high birth, still he was in a miserable condition. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seeing his sincere desire to understand the truth, instructed him to perform tapasya. And it was through this tapasya that he pleased the Supreme Lord. And upon being pleased, the Lord revealed all knowledge to him. Tene brahma hridaya adikavaye muganti yat suraya. And with this knowledge was light. The knowledge that Brahma received was the knowledge that he was part and parcel of Krishna. He was constitutionally the eternal servant of Krishna. He wasn't the material body, but he was the eternal soul. And to engage in the activities of the soul, of always hearing about Krishna, chanting the glories of Krishna, worshiping Krishna, remembering Krishna, he could find shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. So in this way, Brahma found shelter. Brahma became liberated. And it was his good fortune that through the instructions he received, he created the entire universe in such a way to to give everyone the opportunity to take those instructions and become happy. Sahajagya prajashvishva parojana prajapati. The whole purpose of this material creation, as Brahma has created, is to take shelter of Krishna, to realize that this world is a place of anxiety. It is a place where all our so-called relationships based on the principle of love will only bring about frustration, because the only real object of love is Krishna. In all our attempts to build nice homes, to collect nice food, to build great armies for protection, cannot give us real security. Because by the force of time and the laws of nature, this body will be defeated. Whatever endeavor one may enact within one's life. Therefore, we should understand that Krishna is the only goal. Krishna is the only refuge. Krishna is the only source of real pleasure within all of creation. And this conviction is the goal of all the Vedic literatures. This understanding is real religion. Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out Kaitava Dharma, all subordinate religious principles. Those religious principles which teach us a process by which we can try to find more happiness within the modes of material nature in this existence. Most religions enunciate these principles. Why? Because this is what people are so addicted to wanting. Their desires are so polluted, so corrupt. They are so much attached to this body and those things in relationship to the body. They cannot conceive of going beyond their own superficial desires for sense enjoyment. Therefore, the various scriptures teach us how to live according to higher principles of morality, how to worship higher powers, to teach us that we are subordinate living beings, and by doing so, how to improve our material conditions of life. Artha, kama, dhamma, moksha. Better economic condition, better sense gratification, higher principles of morality. But they are all based on the misconception that I am the enjoyer, that I am the doer of my activities. Therefore, they are all situated in avidya, or ignorance. Most of what we learn in the religious books are various forms of ignorance. To think that you are the enjoyer is the source of all suffering. And most people perform their rituals with the idea that they can enjoy better. It is the perpetuation of the same disease. But at least it is in a condition of subordination. At least it is under certain guidelines. So it is a means of approaching higher states of consciousness. Krishna consciousness is transcendental to artha, kama, dhamma, and moksha. When we have the spirit to want to enjoy, when we want to control, when we want to lord it over material nature. Economic development means increasing the illusion that I am the proprietor, that these things are mine. Sense gratification increases the illusion that I am the enjoyer. I am the proprietor, I am the enjoyer. Religiosity means I am the merciful one. It is another way of trying to enjoy the position of God, that these people will starve unless I feed them. Krishna is Vishwambhar. That means he is nourishing everyone. He is nourishing the entire universe. But we want to be the nourishers. We want to feel the satisfaction that without my mercy, without my kindness, you will not eat. And people open hospitals with this idea that I will save you from the pain of disease. So many thousands, millions of people, they would be in such terrible condition of life if it were not for me. We want to be a savior in the name of philanthropy. But again, if we think that we are the doer of our activities, it is another form of illusion. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karamani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma karataham iti manyate. A devotee understands that Krishna is the real proprietor of everything. Therefore, he is not concerned with economic development. A devotee understands that Krishna is the real enjoyer. Everything is meant for his enjoyment. Therefore, he does not pursue the path of sense gratification. That Krishna is the only savior. He is the only friend. He is the only real doer of great things. Therefore, he is not attached to the path of mundane philanthropy for one's own satisfaction. And moksha. Generally, people, their idea of moksha is to become God. That is their idea. When you attain moksha, you become God. You become Brahman, aham brahmasmi. So artha, kama, dhamma, moksha are all forms of exploitation. Therefore, dharma prajita kaita vatra parama nirmatsaranam satam. Srimad Bhagavatam kicks them out and deals with the only true religious principle, which is to enact one's constitutional nature, which is to be the humble servant of the Lord, to do everything for the pleasure of the Lord. Bhakti, devotional service. Krishna explains in Gita, Bhaktya mam abhi janati yavan yashtasmi tatvataha. The supreme truth, the only means of understanding reality, is through bhakti. Because it is the only position in which our natural nature is being expressed. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudulabha prasantatma koteshupi mahamune. It is the only state of real happiness, real bliss, pure devotional service. Because it is the only state where we have no artificial, selfish desires. Because ultimately, artha, kama, dhamma, moksha are all built upon the foundation of enviousness. We want to take the credit or the position of God in some form or another. The only pure position is that of real bhakti. Unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Lord. Svai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhakti rad hokshajay ahoit ki aprati hatha yayatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that which brings about unmotivated, unalloyed love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that path is real religion, Sanatan Dharma. There are so many dharmas, but there is only one Sanatan Dharma, and that is pure devotional service. And here, Queen Kunti is explaining the path of real Sanatan Dharma. To hear about the glories of the Lord, Shravana. To chant the names and glories of the Lord. To worship the Lord and to always remember him. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, I do not want the birth of a Lord Brahma. With all of his powers, with all of his comforts in life, with all of his influence. Sometimes people are very proud that they can have a big family and that they could maintain that. In this day and age, it's so difficult to maintain a family. We have 3-4 children and we have to work like asses just to provide for them. But every living being in this entire universe is the child of Brahma. And he is providing for everyone. What type of a personality is this? But Bhaktivinoda says, no. Not if he is not a devotee. If Brahma is a devotee, I surrender him to his lotus feet. If someone in that position is not a devotee, then it is all useless. I would rather be an insect in the house of a devotee. Because an insect is always so low on the ground, always filled, his body covered with the dust from the devotee of that house. That is where I want to be. That is Bhaktivinoda's prayer. That devotional service is the real path, and taking shelter of those who have taken shelter of the path of devotional service is the only real religion. To become the servant of the Vaishnavas is the only true religious principle in all of creation. And to take shelter of the service of the Vaishnavas means to follow their example and to follow their instructions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, how do we know who is a Vaishnava? And Mahaprabhu said, the person who is always chanting Krishna's holy names, always talking about Krishna, always immersed in service to Krishna. To take shelter of such a personality, to take shelter of that process which he exemplifies in his life, is real religion. And we are not concerned with any other form of religion but service to the devotees. Sravanam, Smaranam, Kirtanam. When we hear the glories of the Lord, when we chant the glories of the Lord, when we worship the Lord, Archanam, Puja, naturally we remember the Lord. During the Kirtan, everyone is so happily chanting. This is the supreme religious process because Krishna is not different than his name. When we chant his name, we naturally remember Krishna. We simply have to be a little bit attentive to hear. And by remembering Krishna, we find shelter in Krishna. And gradually that shelter becomes more and more manifested as our heart becomes purified. When we sit and hear the glories of the Lord, with every word that is spoken, we are reminded of Krishna, of our relationship with Krishna. And just by sitting before the deity, Srila Prabhupada explains that Radha and Krishna are so beautiful. Just by seeing them, we remember them. Srila Prabhupada explains, even if you have not the capacity to chant, even if you have not the capacity to learn the scriptures, if you have no other capacity, just by sitting before the deity and seeing the beautiful form of Sri Radha Gopinath, you remember Krishna. And you become purified. Krishna is so merciful. He descends to this world to give this wonderful, wonderful process, which is so simple and so sublime and so powerful. Queen Kunti, she is speaking through her mature realizations. She was put through the greatest possible crises in life. In Varnataka, when she was in the house of Lakh, there was a terrible, cruel plot to murder her and all of her children by burning them to death. Somehow or other, by the grace of the Lord's devotee, Vidura, she escaped along with her children. And during their exile in the forest, sometimes terrible, terrible man-eating rakshasas were chasing after them to destroy them. Diabolical plots to feed her children poison in great secrecy. Where could there be trust where people are trying to poison you, people are trying to burn you, people are trying to destroy you, eat you? Very, very difficult life. Can you imagine living such an existence? She only had one shelter in remembering Krishna. She had no power to save herself. She had no power to save her children. But in always hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting his holy names, in always worshiping him and remembering him, she found the supreme refuge of his lotus feet. And this she realized is the only real shelter in all of creation. Some people perform great yajnas so that they can become Indra. After thousands and thousands of births of tapasya and yajna, you can become Indra. But we read in the scripture how Bali Maharaj came and marched. And when he marched, Indra, he had to run away in fear with his thunderbolt, with all of his armies of demigods. He could not defend himself. Time and again we read of Indra, how he has to run for his life. You may think, after millions of births of tapasya and yajna, he attains this position and he's still afraid. And ultimately, the only shelter was when he took shelter of Krishna, when he worshipped Krishna, when he remembered Krishna, when he satisfied Krishna. So whoever we are, we should know it is the only safe place. Srila Prabhupada explained that in this age, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yugavatar, has come to teach us that Krishna is in his name. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. And the same shelter that all of these great demigods find in surrendering to Krishna, we can find in sincerely hearing his glories and chanting his names. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada wrote in his introduction to the Vaishnav songbook that the only place where there is safety in all of creation is where the holy name of Krishna is being chanted by the sincere, genuine Vaishnav devotees of the Lord. Kirtan of Lord Hari's holy name is our only real refuge. And all of these wonderful centers that are being opened throughout the world are exclusively meant for this purpose, to give people the opportunity to find real shelter, relief from material pangs, to teach them the permanent means of finding real happiness in Krishna consciousness. The only purpose of these temples is to provide an atmosphere where people could come before the deity, where people can see the wonderful beauty of Radha and Krishna and be attracted, where they could hear the true and genuine philosophy of Vaishnavism, hear the scriptures as they emanate from the mouths of those devotees who are practicing their teachings, associate with devotees, perform devotional service, learn how to engage our natural proclivities in Krishna's service, and to have wonderful kirtan of the holy name. This is the most important purpose of these temples, is to provide a place where people without any hesitations, embarrassments, can just be with devotees, raise their arms, and freely call out Krishna's holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And take the prasad of the Lord. By the simple method that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, all the most intimate esoteric truths of the Vedas are revealed automatically. Is there any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, from today's class we learned that something at least I realized for the first time, but I just want one clarification. You said dharma, artha, kam, moksha. The moksha part also is to take the place of God, aham brahmasmi, you mentioned. So I was just thinking that was the root cause of Vyasadeva's basic unhappiness at the end of Mahabharata's writing, because he ended at that level in the Shanti Parva when Bhishma decides that he is going to leave his body. So my question is this, that the whole strategy of this dharma, artha, kam, moksha is actually a Maya's trap? And most people, 99.9%, who, I would say 100% of those who purposely do not read the Bhagavatam, when I talk to them, they say, no, Bhagavat, Adi Shankaracharya said not to read, so we are not, or he has not commented. So that's also a great trap of Maya. Is that correct understanding?
It is within the realm of Maya. But at the same time, we should know that sometimes Srila Prabhupada used the example that if you have a thorn in your leg, sometimes you use another thorn to get it out. Of Of course, on a higher level, this means that right now we are engaged in material activities, but if we engage in the same activities but offer them to Krishna, they can free us. But from a more external perception of this analogy, because people are so addicted to Maya, people are so addicted to becoming an enjoyer, Krishna arranges within the scriptures the path of karma kanda, jnana kanda, yoga kanda, which provides the goals of artha kama dhamma moksha, to gradually elevate people, to gradually bring people closer to the modes of goodness, to gradually teach them how to be self-controlled, to teach them that you are not the supreme, there is a supreme beyond you, and you must serve, you must sacrifice, you must satisfy. So by doing that, although it is within the realm of Maya, because they're still under the illusion, they don't realize they're the eternal servant of Krishna, which is the only place which is beyond Maya, truly beyond Maya. They're being prepared. They're being gradually prepared to give them the opportunity to come to that realization that they are the eternal servant of Krishna. So Krishna uses Maya and the temptations of Maya to gradually influence a person to come closer to that understanding by which they can come out of Maya. But why not just take the process directly? That is what Krishna requests in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman purityasya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva pape bhyo mokshai shramimasacha.
Chanting of Hare Krishna mantra appears that may not be necessarily a process of bhakti yoga, because eighth offense says that to consider it as a ritualistic activity, so that sort of dilutes the whole purpose of chanting Hare Krishna mantra to a lesser platform, because the motivation is not proper. So when can we know that this person is chanting Hare Krishna, but he is just an act of material piety, and this gentleman also chanting Hare Krishna, but this his perspective, his motivation is much higher. So when does it become only piety and a spiritual activity, the same activity by itself of chanting?
You're asking when we can judge ourselves or how to judge another.
Anyway, but we can say for myself that how do I know that I am not doing it as a matter of karma kanda, or does it become diluted like that?
In the conditioned state of consciousness, we are naturally fruitive in whatever we do. Pure devotional service is very advanced and very rare. When you have no fruitive desires, you are a pure devotee. So our devotional service is mixed, karma misha bhakti, jnana misha bhakti. But if we follow in the footsteps and follow the process of pure devotional service given by the great line of pure devotees of parampara, then we should know that we are on the path of pure devotional service. We may not have realized, but we are on that path. And by continually following with the blessings of the great souls who are on that path, we gradually come to that stage of realization. If we follow the instructions very carefully, and we sincerely desire unalloyed devotional service, and we're willing to perform tapasya of following the instructions as the great pure devotees have given, then we should know without doubt that we are on the path of perfection. We may have fruitive desires, we may have false ego, but we are in the path of perfection. But we must follow very carefully. To the degree we follow, we are in the path of perfection. To the degree we speculate and add our own ideas, to the degree we are lazy and we are not following exactly what we are told, we are not on the path of perfection. Ye yathamam prapadyante tam sthathaiva bhajamyaham. If you follow very, very carefully what Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra is telling, however contaminated and fallen you may be, you are on the path by which you will certainly achieve the ultimate goal of pure devotional service. But if we're asked to chant 16 rounds and we decide that another number is more convenient for me, we are asked to chant attentively and we chant very whimsically, we are asked to read Srila Prabhupada's books and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, but we simply do not have time. We are asked to endeavor to associate in the proper way with devotees, but we simply don't like it because it's not pleasing to my ego. If we deviate to the degree, we deviate to that degree, we're really not going to receive the real treasure of Krishna consciousness. But even if we are the lowest of the low, if we sincerely try to follow in the footsteps of the great souls, it is guaranteed Krishna will help you. If you are sincerely trying to follow as it is spoken, then you should have no worry, you should have no doubt, you should know for certain that my life is secure. We are at the lotus feet of Krishna. Just by properly following, we are situated at the lotus feet of Krishna. Realization comes through purification, but we are properly situated.
Technically speaking, a person like me is a Karmamishra Bhakta right now.
Huh?
Technically speaking, we could label as a Karmamishra Bhakta right now.
Because you are on the path of pure devotional service, and because your aspirations are for pure devotional service, you are a pure devotee. But you are just like a mango when a fruit is on a mango tree. At the beginning it's a mango, but it's just not a ripe mango. It's an unripe mango. But still it's a mango because it's on the mango tree. Prabhupada said you're all pure devotees, because you're on the tree of pure devotional service. But you are unripe pure devotee. So you just have to stay on the tree, and naturally you'll become ripe. But if you fall off the tree, then you won't become ripe. So stay on the tree. Everything will be, by Krishna's mercy, perfect. Yes.
As we have been told that chanting Hare Krishna, as you mentioned, it purifies our consciousness and gives us realization. But how do we develop this faith that, because day to day we are facing so many more and more material desires in our life while we are chanting for all these years, but still, what is that thing which gives us faith that yes, I'm getting purified because of chanting Hare Krishna? What is the proof that we are getting purified of our sins?
What is the proof? There are different stages where evidence is revealed. Just the fact that you are not engaging in sinful activities, that you are engaging so much of your time and energy in the loving service of the Lord, in the service of the Lord, is a great evidence. And the fact that you have the strength and the, the stability by which you can go on engaging in Krishna's service is a great thing in the sense gratificatory processes. The fact that you are living a simple life, the fact that you are still associating with devotees, trying to be their humble servant, the fact that you're trying to still engage in Krishna's service and worship him in this age of Kali, where there is so much adversity, is a great evidence that this hearing and chanting is giving you tremendous power and stability. And gradually, as our material desires become less and as our spiritual aspirations become more, that is another great, great evidence that we are making spiritual progress. If we hear the prayers of Queen Kunti, if we hear the words of the great acharyas and the scriptures, it makes everything clear. It makes our whole life in devotion sensible. Otherwise, material propaganda will bewilder you. Therefore, it is very, very essential, shravanam, to hear regularly, to maintain and preserve faith that what we are doing is right. And we must have the association of devotees.
May I comment on this, Maharaj?
Yes, please.
I liked Krishnapad's statement the other day, that is Bhakti Tirth Maharaj's, about keeping an inventory, because we in business are used to this inventory and inventory control. So using that technique for Krishna consciousness also, that whatever my balance sheet or my assets and liabilities means, you know, how many material desires I had, say 15 years ago when I joined, or 5 years or whatever, what are the list, and keep that diary permanently, which I have, or others too should keep, and then keep watching the inventory, which are going down, which is going up. And then if we have problems, I think we usually associate more with senior devotees and say, this is my problem, with whom we can open our heart. And I think the real problem is that many devotees don't keep an inventory on a day-to-day basis. And then they, you know, bloop, because the thing becomes too heavy on them, and then the liabilities far exceed and they have no more assets, no more capital of Krishna consciousness. So, I mean, this language is of course a business language, which I think only Vrindavan Chandra understands. But am I right, Vrindavan Chandra? What I'm saying? Huh? Anand Vrindavan. Anand Vrindavan.
Devo.
Do you recommend people keep such inventory, Maharaj?
Yes. But for those who are not advanced, highly trained businessmen, for those who are not trained to immerse their consciousness in the stock market day and night, for those who do not have tens and thousands of workers and massive factories in their industrialization of the world, the simple process of taking inventory is just just researching within our own minds at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, what have I done? Who have I done it for? And why did I do it? That is a simple form of inventory. What have I done today? How much have I done for my senses today? How much have I done for my own false prestige today? How much have I done to serve my Guru Maharaj? How much have I done to please the Vaishnavas and Krishna today? Every evening, we should take that in daily inventory. And every morning, we should set our goals. You don't need a chartered accountant. All you need is a sincere heart. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.